I bring you greetings from South Texas. We attend the Edinburgh Seventh-day Adventist Church, and we traveled from there starting Thursday last week. And so you imagine how many miles did we travel? We arrived Friday evening in one of my cousins in San Diego, California, and it was a good get-together after not having seen each other for almost 20 years. And basically our main purpose here of coming to California is to meet family members, those whom we never have seen for many, many long years. And so we went from San Diego to Los Angeles, where we spent last Sabbath with them. They asked me to give an afternoon message on coronary artery disease and also on how cancer develops and how we are able to prevent the onset of those diseases, as well as how we could change our diet and lifestyle in order for us to get over all the sicknesses that sweep many of our people today. So from Los Angeles, where I met my two cousins there, we went to Tulare, where my brother-in-law is working as a medical doctor. And then from there, we went to his home at Reading. And the highlight of our trip is on seeing, for the first time, snow. I know that many of you have seen snow for years of your life, but it was a special treat for us seeing snow for the first time. So we had fun in the snow at the foot of Shasta, Mount Shasta, at Layson Forest Park. And it was fun with us. It was a special treat to my family, my wife and my four children, and some other family members were there with us. So it was a good way of treating our children to see nature, how God is so magnificent. And then from there, we came here, and I'm so glad to meet my Uncle David with Auntie Linda. The children are not with them. How I wish I will have a time to meet with them too. So he mentioned that I was still about between 3 and 4 years old when they left the Philippines, and from that on, we never saw each other. And only after probably about 44 years, now I'm 48. And so approximately 44 or more years that we didn't see each other. And he may have imagined that I'm still that small boy. And only to find out that I already have my own children. I have four children. The eldest is already 15 years old. And then I have 14 years old. The third one is 12, going 13. And then my youngest is 4 years old. So I have a big family. And so we would like them to be involved in mission trips like this and meeting family and friends, as well as members of our church and others, that we could marvel how God has been so good to us. Now, I don't know if my cousins are here also. They are coming from Stockton. May I see their hands if they are there? Oh, yes, they are there. My vision is limited. I could hardly see So I'm glad that they are here also to meet with us. And from here, probably we'll be going to back to Pacific Union College and to Egypt White Center, where we will see the history of the church as well. And we may spend the night with them as well. And last night, we were warmly welcomed by Uncle David and Auntie Linda, and we would like to praise God for their hospitality. Now, this should be a significant Sabbath for many of us. You know why? What is this Sabbath? This is the last Sabbath of the year 2012, and next Sabbath, it will be next year. Right, 2013. So this is the last Sabbath, and I will mark my calendar that I've been here to San Jose Central SDA Church. Yeah, I think of San Antonio because we'll be going there from here. We will be spending our first Sabbath in San Antonio Philam Church. And then we will eventually go to our home in McAllen, Texas. Now, normally, when the new year comes, what do we do? Yes, we make our resolutions. We look back to 2012 and try to review what has transpired in the past, both good and something that we have done that we think we have to do it again the better next time. So, every time that New Year comes, we have our New Year's resolution. And this New Year's resolution, sometimes we forget towards the middle of the year, and then on to the next year again, that we are going to review again and again that we have done things that are good, and then there are things also that we would like to overcome and do better. Now, one thing that is sweeping our society throughout the years would be the what-if syndrome. What do you think of this? This is something that many of us would like to put as part of their New Year's resolution, that we will never do the what-if syndrome again. We have to overcome this disease. What if? This is a syndrome. Now, you know, for those who understand the term syndrome, we talk of an array of symptoms, right? So there are a lot, not only of one or two symptoms, but there would be an array of symptoms that this disease is not just one, but several diseases that come together, and we would like to overcome this disease, the what-if syndrome. Many of us call this disease also as the worry disease. Worry disease. Why worry disease or worry syndrome? Why do you think this points to worrying? I wonder who among us has never worried in your lifetime. Could you please bravely raise your hands? Did you ever worry at least once in your lifetime? May I see the hands of those who have been, who at least experienced worrying once? Okay. For those who experienced worrying twice. Okay, three times. Okay, four times. Five times. Six times or more. 10 times or more. 20 times or more. Oh boy, you are chronic warriors. We are chronic warriors. We worry a lot. And we say, what if I will have a blick on uncertain 2013? What if many things? We call this as the what-if syndrome. So we all agree that life is full of many concerns stemming from the absence of uncertainty and control over our future. Who among us would tell that you have full control of your future? Do you know what will happen the next hour of the day? Could you predict? Do you know what will happen tomorrow? Of course, we have plans. Just like in our trip, we planned from day one to day two, day three, and on. And we'll be spending our time here in California for almost 2 weeks. And we planned. But we are not certain what lies ahead of us. Not even one of us know what exactly will happen. Now, so people these days are swept by the tide of worries. They spend an awful lot of time worrying. So we say we are all chronic warriors. We are plagued with the disease, chronic worry syndrome. And we also call this disease, as I said, as the what-if syndrome. Now, if we start with the students, I understand that the students and many of your young people went to the GYC. And so I just would like to give a few things that we worry about. Students worry about what? About their grades, yes. I've been a professor for more than 25 years. And I know that the students worry about grades. They don't even worry about their learning, but they worry about their final grade. And there are those who come and see me, I would like to have an A in my class. And I said, you better study. Because you don't have to worry about your final grade if you study a lot. So they worry about their grades. They worry about their exams. They say, what if I have a bleak or uncertain future? Others worry about job interviews. And we say, they say, what if I do not get the job? They worry about approaching deadlines. What if I do not meet the deadline? Shrinking budgets and overdrafts. Do we worry about budget? Of course, yes. Especially these days that we are swept with the tide of economic crisis, not only in the third world countries, not only in developing countries, but we are actually in a recession in the U.S. Developed countries like the U.S., Canada, Australia, Singapore, China, Japan. Do you think these people are not worrying about their budget? Do you think these people are not worrying about money matters? In fact, those who have so much are even the chronic worriers. They worry a lot. What if and what ifs? A long list would go. They worry about bills, loans, mortgage, rising gas prices. We have observed as we traveled from McAllen to California, the gas price would go up, up. When we left McAllen Thursday morning, I had my gas, my tank filled, and I think at least in Sam's Club, you have 3.09 for the high grade gas. And then when we got here, I think it's almost $4 a gallon, or on the average about 3.58 on the average. So we have a lot of things to worry about. Although many of these worrying boil down to things that we don't even need. We buy on things that we don't need. In other words, many of us worry about because we are not living in simple, frugal life. Even if we have jobs, even if we have an income, we still worry about money matters. Why? Because we want to buy things that we don't even need. Now, I will be giving you some reasons why we should not worry. In other words, we have to stop, put a stop on worrying. First, reason why we have to stop worrying is that worrying accomplishes absolutely nothing. I just would like to underscore the word absolute. It doesn't do anything, in other words. Worrying accomplishes absolutely nothing. In fact, worrying is a waste of golden, precious time. Worrying won't help you solve a problem or bring about a solution. So why waste time and energy on worrying? Worrying over things that might happen can waste large portions of our lives. It is often for nothing, absolutely nothing, and almost certainly does nothing good. And I will outline to you later on that worrying actually would erode our physical and even our spiritual well-being. Now it says here, if you can solve your problem, then what is the need of worrying about it? On the other hand, if you cannot solve your problem, then what is the use of worrying about it too? So it's very logical, right? If you can solve the problem, why do you have to worry? If you cannot solve the problem, why do you have to worry? So it's very logical that we don't need to worry. Worrying about things that have happened will not turn back the hands of time to give you another try of doing it right. Indeed, many of our anxieties and fears are for what? What do you think our anxieties and fears are for? It starts with a big N. They are for nothing. They are for nothing. Most of the rest can simply be discarded because worrying just isn't do any good. Now, I would like you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 27 to 29. Please open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 27 to 29. I'm reading on a paraphrased version. It says here, "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was dressed as beautifully as they are." So why do we worry about life? Why do we worry about clothing or anything that we need? So worrying doesn't accomplish anything. The second reason why we should not worry is that worrying is a physical and mental burden. Did you hear that? It's a physical and mental burden. In other words, worrying could make you sick. Not only physically, but also mentally and spiritually as well. Worrying is destructive in many ways. It becomes a mental burden that cradles sour relationships. It cradles sour relationships. So if it becomes a mental burden, you may not even have a good relationship with your wife, with your husband, with your children, the members of the family, your relatives, friends, and members of the church as well. So it affects you as a person. Worry can cause mental and behavioral illnesses that can have destructive physical health effects that shorten life. Why? Because this would cradle physical disease, ulcers, cancers, different sorts, arrhythmia. Worrying literally drains physical energy and mental powers. In Proverbs 12:25, please open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 25. Proverbs 12:25. It says, "Worry weighs a person down, but on the other hand, an encouraging word cheers a person up." For those who are still looking for the verse, it's in Proverbs 12, verse 25. In other words, the verse tells us that if we worry, then we could go down to the ebb. But on the other hand, if we take courage and if we hear encouraging words, then we could be cheered up and our souls would be uplifted. Now, I just would like to cite some medical researches here that prove that many of the physical illnesses today originate from the mind, aside from those things that we emphasize in some of our health lectures with my wife, going from one place to another. We have a diet and lifestyle that would drain our physical health. But in fact, many of our illnesses come from the mind. It comes from our decision on things. Now, you know, at the very center of the brain, we have what we call the hypothalamus, which is the emotional seat of the brain. Now, this part of the brain would stop releasing what we call endorphins and dopamine. So that when you are stressed out, the brain will stop releasing this. You know, endorphin and dopamine will have a healing effect on the body. But then if you worry a lot, then this kind of chemical will be stopped. It will be inhibited. Its release from the hypothalamus will be totally inhibited, or it could be partially inhibited. Now, aside from this, you can develop cardiovascular diseases such as hypertension and arrhythmia. You may develop autoimmune disease, peptic and duodenal ulcers, as I mentioned earlier, cancers of different types, and even senility, forgetfulness, and many others. You name all those sorts, and this may start from just mere worrying. Now, the third reason why we have to stop worrying is that worrying signifies distrust. Whom should we trust? Should we trust on our jobs? If we worry, this signifies distrust. In fact, this is actually a way of denying the power of Jesus in our lives. You see, do you remember how Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus? What did he do? Yes, he exchanged Jesus from what? From how many pieces of silver? 30 pieces of silver. Imagine that. He trusted on 30 pieces of silver rather than trusting Jesus, whom he worked with for several years. He was one of the disciples who closely walked with Jesus. And you remember Peter. What did Peter do? He denied Jesus for how many times? Three times before the cock crew. Peter denied Jesus for three times already. And Peter understood and recalled what Jesus told him, that you will deny me. Are we ready to deny Jesus? Or are we ready to uphold Jesus in our lives by trusting him? Because if we worry, we are exchanging Jesus from anything else. While it is true that uncertainties are facts of life, it is likewise true that we do not have any bit of control over what lies ahead. Pondering on things that rust are major sources of man's worries. Things that rust. In other words, things that are temporary. Many of us trust on those things. We should not exchange our trust in God. Full trust in God with all these things. The fourth reason why we have to stop worrying is that Worrying traps you to selfish focus. May I just repeat that? Worrying traps you to selfish focus. Now, I just would like to underscore the word trap. You are trapped. You don't know where to go. You are just there. You are trapped by worrying. You are trapped by selfish focus. As you are trapped in a limbo of worries, you will spend all your life focusing on the self and limiting your service to God and to others, because your focus is on yourself. You are thinking about yourself. What if I cannot do this? What if I die? What if I and I and I? You are just worrying about in a circle of self. So you are just going in circles, pointing to the self. Your priorities are centered to self-enrichment, self-praise, and an array of egocentrism. Ego means self, centrism is toward yourself. Since this eats up so much of your time, this could suck you down to the ebb of frustrations, envy, self-pity, disgust, remorse, and a long list of negative emotional state. So this will eat you up, in other words. Now, we understand why we should not worry, but many of us don't know how to get over worrying. Now, we are going to give some reasons or ways of stopping our worries. So we call this as antidotes of worrying. First, we should pray about life's worries. Pray and pray. Pray without ceasing. May it be that your hour, New Year's resolution, is to stop worrying and to stop praying about life's concerns. Believers are commanded. Now, take note of the word, commanded. We are commanded to pray about life's worries. These prayers are to be more than requests for favorable answers. May I repeat that? These prayers should be more than requests for favorable answers. Because many times if we pray, we say, Lord, please bless me, please bless my family, please bless my job, bless, and so on. So these are requests that are centered on the self. So what then? How do we then pray? These prayers should include thanksgiving and praise of what the Lord has done for us along with our daily needs. Do we take time to pray and praise God? Do we thank God that He has spared our lives throughout the day? Do we spend at least 70% in our prayers with thanks and praises to God? Now I say 70% because I base that with the amount of water. About 70 to 75% is made of water in our bodies. So as a professor of science, I normally relate this to my sermons. So in other words, we spend more of our time praying, praising God and thanking Him of His goodness, not just mere requests. We should never forget that He graciously provides all our needs, not our wants. Praying in this way reminds us of the many blessings God continually gives us whether we ask or not. Normally we don't ask for air, for oxygen that we breathe. We don't ask for water, but God provides all of this on a daily basis. We don't even ask for the breath of life because God has given us this breath of life already. And sometimes we don't praise God. We don't thank Him for the breath of life that He gives. Now, in Matthew 6:30, I just would like you to read with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Matthew 6, verse 30. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Again, in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, please open your Bibles with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. This is not just a recommendation, but this is actually a command. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, another translation of Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. I love making verses simple as we understand it. It says, "Do not worry about anything, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and then the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Amen. So we have to pray. We have to move our supplications to the heavens, send our supplications to the high heavens with thanksgiving. Another antidote for worrying: anchor your security on Jesus. What did I say earlier? That many of us anchor our trust on things that are material, on things that rust, on things that are temporary. But God tells us that we should anchor our security only in Jesus. In fact, Jesus is our only priority. He is the only one, and everything follows. Worry speaks about with which or with whom our security rests. When life is going well as planned and we feel safe in our life routines, then worries subside. Many of us anchor our security upon job, bank account, education, car, home, praise of men, good health, and others. Our worries, in fact, come from what ifs when these anchors of security are swept away just that in a split of time. When tornadoes come, we worry. What if my house would be swept away by tornado? What if I meet an accident and I die? What about my children? What if I lose my job? What will happen to me? Because many of us anchor our security on all these things. But whatever comes, any calamities in our lives, we should put everything on the Lord. In fact, if we anchor our security on these material things, they are shaky and they could be swept away in a split seconds. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it says, "Cast your cares upon Jesus, because he," please continue for me, "he cares for you." We professed Adventist believers who wait on the Lord's return must take our worries to Jesus in prayer and leave them to him. This reinforces our total dependence upon God. This is not just mere dependence upon him, but it is a complete trust. This is a total dependence upon him. You see, we have been going from one church to another, from one place to another, giving our health message, and we emphasize on the New Start program: nutrition, exercise, water, sunlight, temperance, air, rest. And what is, do you think, is the last part? The letter T. Trust, yes. It's not just mere trust, but it's trust in God, which means that everything is summed up with the letter T, trust in God. In Matthew 6:25, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?" Again, in Matthew 6:31-33, these are promises that we have to lean upon. It says in Matthew 6:31-33, "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else." Amen. Seek him first, above everything, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Third, I would like to highlight this on our New Year's resolution, that while we pray about our worries, it is for us to do something. We have to reset our priorities. Could we all say that? Reset our priorities. We have to simplify life. We have to learn to live frugal. It says here in Matthew 6:19 that we have to put away all those that rust, but rather we have to put our priorities on those things that are eternal. Therefore, set your priorities on God, not on money, not on carnal things, but on those that will never rust, those that will remain for eternity. And the last antidote to worries is for us to focus on Jesus. I would like to emphasize here about the experience of Martha and Mary. As we read in our scripture reading. This highlights the story about the two sisters. Everybody of us know the story. Martha and Mary. We know that Martha was busy with many details regarding making Jesus and his disciples comfortable. She worried about food. She worried about how she would make Jesus and his disciples comfortable at home. But then, on the other hand, Mary chose the better one. What did Mary do? Did she prepare food? Did she prepare anything else? Yes, she was at the feet of Jesus, listening intently to Jesus. And so, it is for us to focus our lives on Jesus, and everything will follow. Our opportunity of listening to God may pass. If we start the day, how do we start the day? Do we start the day contemplating about God's goodness? Or do we just jump up from bed and then go to the restroom, make ourselves comfortable, and then we prepare the food, and then rush to work to find out whether we no longer had time to read his word? Brothers and sisters, I know that the Lord is coming very soon. Very soon, then, we know. 2013 is coming, and the Lord is coming very soon. It is now time for us to put God first in our lives. When we wake up in the morning, the first thought should be about God. Our first thought should be contemplating about his goodness, how he has given us the breath of life for the day. It is for us to listen to him through his word. I wonder who among us still have time to read a chapter or two or more for the day. We may say we don't have time. We have just a minute or two, and then we go off. Many times, we just go rush to our jobs, to our daily routines, and we leave the Word of God. Do we take time to pray? Pray without ceasing. Prayer should take most of the time in our lives. That as we pray, God will empower us how to help in finishing the work that was given to us. So, instead of worrying, instead of being occupied with worries, we have to be occupied on the Great Commission and help in expanding God's kingdom. God says, be occupied till I come. But what are the occupations of our mind and our daily routines? We have to be more occupied on expanding God's kingdom, that whoever will come along our way for the day, that we have to take time giving the word that God is coming soon. May we take the challenge, brothers and sisters, that we, while we are given life, we do not know what lies ahead of time. We put our full trust in him and He will take care of us. And while we have time, let's spread the good news of salvation, that Jesus came for us to die on the cross. Jesus came for us to be redeemed and be reconciled with the Father. May we take this challenge, and may we see Jesus in His return. This is my prayer.
Before standing up for our closing hymn, just a reminder for next Sabbath, it's going to be our communion Sabbath. So come prepared. So now let's stand for our closing hymn.
When we walk the Lord, in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still, and we know who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sign nor a but while we trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but a toll He does richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust. Delights of His love until all at the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He says we will go, never fear, only trust. Happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Our Father in heaven, Thank you so much for thou hast given us thy word. Thank you, O Father, for all thy promises that you will provide our needs. Therefore, O Father, help us to have complete trust in thee, to have total dependence upon thee. May it be, Father, that our New Year's resolution would be to stop worrying and never fail to trust thee. Because we know, O Father, that you are faithful to us, that we also have to be faithful in thee until thou wilt come in the clouds of heaven and claim us for life eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.